Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Kenya today. Very warm today, and we've had good rain the last week, and so we're continuing to be blessed by good rain, but it's starting to heat up. The days are getting hotter, and so we thank the Lord that He has given us another day to praise Him, to worship Him, to honor Him, and I thank the Lord for this radio broadcast. Today I'm going to be talking about suffering for Jesus, or suffering with Jesus, however you want to look at it. And we're going to be talking about suffering in the viewpoint of the Apostle Paul to start with, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. And Apostle Paul, of course, was no stranger to suffering, and he also in his life caused many to suffer. And so he had that burden to bear. He had the burden that he had caused Christians to suffer. He had been a persecutor of Christians when he was Saul, and he became then the Apostle Paul. He had a transformation. He received the knowledge and the salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he transformed his life. It changed his life 180 degrees. Instead of becoming a persecutor and a tormentor of Christians, he became a preacher and one who dispersed the gospel and preached the gospel in many countries around the world. He was a prolific letter writer as well, and so 13 books of the Bible are accredited to the Apostle Paul. Well, Philippians 3:7, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet also I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And Paul was a Pharisee. He was raised up as a Pharisee, probably in a pretty well-to-do Jewish home, and he had the best of teachers. He sat under Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, and a Pharisee, and so Paul had the best of the world that he was living in. He was a teacher and one who knew the law intimately, and yet it didn't help him because he could not see the revelation of Jesus Christ in his life. When the Lord gave him revelation, he could not see it. In fact, he was a persecutor of Christians. He was at the stoning of Stephen, the evangelist, and he was holding the cloak of those who actually stoned Stephen and stoned him to death. So Paul was an accomplice to murder and a co-conspirator to murder. And so God had a special burden on Saul, and he called him, more or less you would say, to carry on the anointing that was on the evangelist Stephen, who was one of the first deacons in the church in Jerusalem. And so Saul had that burden that he had helped to kill Christians. He was dragging them out of their house. And so when God called him and showed him the revelation that he was going to suffer many things to take the gospel to the Gentiles, God said to Saul that he was going to show him, Jesus said, "I'm going to show him what he must suffer for my sake to take the gospel to the Gentiles." So when Paul talks about here that he has suffered the loss of all things, he suffered the loss of his reputation, he suffered the loss of his upbringing, he suffered the loss of his, in many ways, his culture, because the Jews, after he converted to the way, after he converted to Christianity, then he became an enemy of the Jews. They persecuted him, they attacked him, they tried to kill him, and so he suffered the loss of all things, and he says, "I count that as all of that as rubbish. I count it as rubbish that I may gain Christ." And so he has come to the point where he realizes that what he has lost does not compare to what he has gained in knowing Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And beloved, I pray for some of you out there that you are holding back from your Christian walk, you're holding back from your calling, you're holding back from your destiny because you're afraid of losing your reputation. You're afraid of losing the status that you have in your family, in your community, maybe in some other organization. And so God is talking to you today. Don't be afraid to lose everything that you have. Don't be afraid to give up that which you have gained, maybe by your own strength, your own charisma, your own intellect, your own whatever it is that you think you have that makes you special, your own pride. Don't be afraid to give that up, because the knowledge of the gain of Jesus Christ, that intimate walk with Jesus, it will make you realize that what you have had, what you've had to give up, what you have lost is nothing compared to the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and not just knowing Him, but also serving Him in a way that you know that the blessings that are going to be coming, not only in this age, in the age to come, that those blessings will be much, much greater than anything that you can have here on this earth, that you can gain by your own strength and by your own intellect. And so Paul says, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count that as rubbish. I count it as nothing, that I may gain Christ. And then in verse 10, he goes on to say, that I may know him, that I may know Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So Paul said, I not only want to know the power of his resurrection, I want to know, in other words, Paul says, I want to know everything about eternal life, how Jesus laid down his life on the cross for all mankind, how Jesus came to the point of obedience. The Bible says that Jesus was obedient to his Father in every way, even to the point of death on the cross. And so Paul wanted to come to that point where he was willingly offering himself as a sacrifice to further the gospel, and not only to further the gospel, but also to offer himself as a sacrifice so that he could know the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, that he could come to a place where he knew Jesus Christ in the afterlife, where he knew the power of Jesus Christ to lay down his life, to pick up his life again. And that is the power of his resurrection. And then Paul says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Well, beloved, this is hard for us to imagine. This is hard for us to grasp the depth of the meaning of this. Most Christians, not just Christians, but most people will do anything they can to keep from suffering. Most people will avoid pain in their bodies. They will avoid any kind of persecution. They will avoid any kind of sacrifice so that they can treat themselves well. Most people love their body. They love the pleasures that are given to their body in terms of food and drink and sexual pleasure and just entertainment and all of those things that we take for granted in America especially. And Paul said, I want to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings and being conformed to his death. Beloved, when you have come to the place where you want to serve Jesus, and when you have come to the place when you say, Jesus, it's not about me, it's about you. Jesus, I'm not taking myself out of the race because it's tough. I'm not taking myself out of the race because there's persecution. I'm not taking myself out of the race because there might be death threats or people threaten my life or maybe people attack me or try to take me out. I'm going with you, Jesus, because I want to fellowship with your suffering. I want to know what you suffered. And of course, we can never know the totality of what Jesus suffered. We can never know the totality of what he gave up to go to the cross. He had to give up everything about himself and about his own will for his life. And he said, Father, when he was praying in the garden before he went to the cross, he said, Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, I pray, Father, that you would take this cup from me, that I don't have to go through this suffering, that I don't have to give up my life. And of course, at that point, when Jesus was praying in the garden, he was sweating great drops of blood. Blood was coming out of his forehead and out of his skull, and he was in great agony. The Bible says he was in great agony. He was agonizing over what he knew was coming. And so he knew that he was going to be suffering. And he said, "Father, if there's any way that I can have this cup pass from me, please let this cup pass, but thy will be done. Let thy will be done." And so Jesus knew that ultimately it would be the Father's will that he had to go to the cross. He knew that this had been prophesied in the Old Testament. And of course, Jesus knew the Old Testament, having grown up in a good Jewish family. He knew the Old Testament, and so he knew that this was prophesied, that the Messiah would give up his life. And so Paul said, "I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be in an intimate relationship with Jesus so that I can know the fellowship of his sufferings." Well, then Paul goes on to list the sufferings that he's gone through. And in 2 Corinthians 11:24, this is just a partial listing of what he talks about as having to go through sufferings from the Jews. "Five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day in the deep." He's talking about in the ocean there. "In journeys often, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." And verse 27, "In weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Verse 28, "Besides the other things which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." And so Paul had this list of ways in which he had suffered. And beloved, I want to ask you today, if you're a Christian out there, if you're a believer and you claim to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how have you suffered for your Lord and Savior? How have you known the fellowship of the sufferings of your Lord? Done anything in the kingdom that has caused you to suffer for the kingdom? Have you laid down anything in your life to suffer for the kingdom, to be persecuted, or to suffer physical or bodily harm for the kingdom? I ask you today, ask yourself that. What have you done? And beloved, I know that this isn't something in America we look forward to. We look forward to the good life, the good material life, the life of blessings, plenty of food, drink, water, shelter, all that kind of stuff. But I ask you today, what have you done to suffer for the kingdom of God? Well, Paul had quite a list here. And of course, you know, before it was all said and done, when Paul was in Rome, he had been taken prisoner because he was persecuted and they threatened to beat him in Jerusalem and in Antioch. And so he pleaded to the government to take him to Rome so he could make his case before the Roman government. And eventually he was in prison there. Eventually he gave up his life and he was killed there. Some people say he was a fairly young man, maybe in his 50s, but whatever the case, he gave up his life, he suffered, and he died, and he lost his life for the sake of spreading the gospel, for the sake of being able to spread the gospel, to push the kingdom all over Asia and all over Rome, all over Macedonia, Greece, Turkey, all of that part, even places in Israel he was preaching. And through the letters that he wrote, we have seen what a great apostle Paul was, what a great preacher he was, what a great student of the word he was. And so that is my challenge to you, to be able to say at the end of your life, or maybe even before, that I gave up for the kingdom of God, that I know the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ Jesus. Well, here I sit here today in Africa preaching this message, and beloved, I'm not here to toot my own horn or to put stripes on my shoulders. The Lord knows what I have suffered, and I can tell you in times and at times, it has been great, the things that I've suffered in terms of physical discomfort, sickness, attack from the enemy, spiritual attack, physical attack. I've suffered in many ways that I never expected, that I never wanted, I never asked for. But in all things, I consider it rubbish that I have lost all things in my response to the call of the Lord upon my life. And before I came to Africa, I had the same conception of Africa that many of you do. It's a place of violence. It's a place of a lot of mosquitoes and a lot of sickness, a lot of cholera, malaria, and HIV and Ebola and a lot of machete-wielding crazy people. And that's exactly what it is. That is a good description of many of the places I've been in Africa. There are some places that are pretty civilized, pretty sane, and look like there's some comforts of home there. But for the most part, I have given up a lot of my comforts. And this is God's will for my life. He knew when he picked me. He knew when he sorted me out of the bunch that that was my nature, that was my character, that I was able to handle the things that he was going to have me to handle. And so that is God's plan for my life. But I'm not here to boast. I'm just telling you, when you lay down your life and you say, Lord, I want to serve you however you have me to serve, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, when you lay down your life and you say to the Lord, I'm ready to go, here am I, send me. You don't know what is coming next. You don't know where you're going to be sent or how you're going to be used by the Lord. But I can tell you, if you really have a calling from God, if God has really placed his hand upon you and touched you and said, I'm going to send you here or I'm going to send you there, you will be willing to go and you will say, just like Paul, that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. Well, Paul talks about being crucified with Christ, and this is what we need to do. We need to crucify our flesh. Because the enemy attacks the flesh is what is exposed to the world first and foremost, and it is the lowest, the basest part of us. Our flesh is what we like to give pleasure to through food and drink and sexual pleasure and entertainment and leisure. And so the flesh is that part of us that does not live on. So the enemy attacks the flesh because the enemy knows that the flesh likes to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And so the flesh will be laid back into the ground at some point. The flesh will go back to dust at some point. And so when we crucify the flesh, then we exalt the Spirit. And the Spirit then can communicate with God. The Spirit then, which receives and hears from God, through revelation, through the spoken word, through the written word, through prophetic word, through dreams, visions, the Spirit can get in touch with God. When you learn to crucify the flesh and deny yourself and pray and fast and discipline yourself to a Christian walk, discipline yourself to Bible study, discipline yourself to prayer, discipline yourself to being in the fellowship and to serving the Lord, then when you crucify the flesh, then the Spirit is exalted and you will start to hear from God and you will start to then have revelation and understanding of the deeper mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, this is what I call the Galatians 2:20 plateau. When you have reached this place, beloved, when you have reached this plateau, and I picture it as being on a mountain, and you've climbed up this mountain, scratched, and you've clawed, and you've dug, and if any of you have ever done any mountain climbing, you know sometimes you have to scratch and claw and dig into the crevices and the little cracks and the little rocks to set your feet on. And when you get to a plateau, a place where you can relax, and a place where you can actually stretch out your legs and stretch out your arms and relax, and maybe drink some water or take some nourishment, then you know how relaxing and how rejuvenating that plateau can be. And so in Galatians 2:20 plateau here, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Well, to go from the back to the front, Paul says that this Christ, the Son of God, I live by faith in him, and he loved me and he gave himself up for me. Well, beloved, when you understand that Jesus died on the cross for you, maybe you're not even a Christian yet. Maybe you have never accepted Jesus. Maybe you're afraid even of losing your reputation even before you have been converted or accepted Jesus. But I tell you, when you start to understand that Jesus went to the cross for you, that he loved you, and he gave himself up for you, he died for you, he shed his precious blood for you, that the life then that you live when you say yes to Jesus, the life that you live then will no longer be your life. God will put his hand upon you. He will start to direct you through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit may give you counsel. It may give you comfort. It may give you direction. But I can tell you this, your life will never be the same. And praise God for that, because some of you, you need to leave your life that is not of God right now. You need to leave your life. You need to repent of your ways. And you need to turn from your wicked life, your way of sin, and reject all those things that are holding you back and holding you back from your destiny. You need to reject those things and say, Lord, here am I. I want to serve you. I want to know Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins. I turn from my wicked ways. I cry out to you. I want to submit to you. And when you do that, then you are starting to be crucified with Christ. Again, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Paul says, I don't even consider my life to be my own. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And for us on the earth, the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Well, I'm going to close with a scripture here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and these words are from the mouth of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, Matthew 16, 24. Jesus said, you have to deny yourself and pick up your cross. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, beloved, as you know, in studying about Jesus' life, the cross was an instrument of death. It was an instrument of death not only for Jesus, but also for the others, the thieves on the cross and other people who were crucified. It was an instrument of death. And so Jesus said, you have to pick up your cross. You have to deny yourself, and by deny yourself, he means you have to set aside your life, your plan for your life, your will, your selfishness, your pride, your desire, and take up your cross and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to crucify my flesh. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go where you lead me. Trust that you will take care of me, and I will then be in the shadow of your wings. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Beloved, the harder you try to hang on to your own life, the more God is going to rip it out of your hand. The more you try to hang on to your own will, your own desire, and everything that you think you should be doing, God is going to rip it out of your hand. But if you give it up willingly and lay down your life willingly, God will exalt you and you will find the joy, the fulfillment. You will find that life that God desires for you to know. Well, beloved, I hope you have been blessed by this message. Next week, we're going to talk about this some more. Gather the Outcast is a listener's radio ministry, and I thank the Lord for that. I ask you to partner with us in prayer and support. We have a great crusade coming up in Mumias here in December that I want you to pray for and help support and be a part of this crusade that many people here, the Muslims and those who are trapped in witchcraft and other pagan activity will come to know Jesus, and you can be a part of that through your prayers and through your contributions. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a minute. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.